God bless you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, Gospel of John, if you could take that down there. The Gospel of John and verse number chapter 3, as we go through this book. I'm doing that this year in 2019. We use the Gospel of John. We give out the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John has had a big impact in my life years ago. I read it, and there was amazing things begin to pop out of it. But the Gospel of John needs to be taught as well as read, and for its riches to really begin to emerge for our benefit and blessing. We're in the Gospel of John chapter 3 today, verse number 1, on the new birth. This is the new birth chapter. John is the only one that writes about this new birth doctrine as clearly as it is explained here. But John chapter 3, verse 1 through to 10, and we're going to do it responsively for those of you visiting. Responsive means I read the first verse, and then you join me on the second verse, and then the third verse, I'll read it, fourth verse, you join me. That's unison, responsive unison reading. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now you join me together. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Together the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Our text this morning is verse number 7. Verse number 7. Jesus' emphatic statement, Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. He's making a statement. He does it actually 3 times. But here, very powerful, you must be born again. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's pray. Father, we pray you will bless this message. Help me, help our church, and help those who are visiting. Perhaps there's a Nicodemus here today, somebody who has actually not really been born again, but they have heard, they know a lot of Scripture, but never have experienced the new birth. Please make it clear for all of us today, and especially them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This goofy thing is giving me grief here this morning. I don't know what it's doing, but it's... Okay, John chapter 3. And the title of the message this morning is From Night to Day. From Night to Day. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 1, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Why does he do that? He comes to Jesus by night. I'm really not exactly sure why he comes by night, but I believe it's probably because he does not want to be seen. He doesn't want to be seen by everybody, the other Pharisees. You see, notice there was a man of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee was a very religious man of a certain sect. They were a certain group You might want to call them a strong denominational group in Israel, the Pharisees. These were very legalistic people. They had a lot of tradition that they followed, and a strict order and a strict, very strict traditions and rules. And you had to be a somebody to become a Pharisee. And not just a Pharisee, this man was a master Pharisee. Verse 10, Jesus answered, "Are you a master of Israel?" He was a master Pharisee. That means he wasn't just part of the group. He was a leader and a teacher. Now, we don't see too many Pharisees get saved in the Bible, become to Christ. But I think this is one of those men who went from a night man to a day man, from night to day. That's what happens when you're born again. You go from night to day. And the change is night and day. And we see that in the scripture, night and day. And now, let's back up a little. Is that me or is that there? It's me? Yeah. So we've gone through in the Gospel of John. We have seen chapter 1, Christ the Word. We've seen in John chapter 1, we were introduced to John the Baptist. And we also see in John chapter 1, Jesus picking his team. He picked his team. He starts. He actually doesn't pick at all, but he's got 5 of the 12 in John chapter 1. And then we see John chapter 2, the first miracle, the water being turned to wine. And then we see in John chapter 2, we covered this last week, Jesus cleansing the temple. He cleansed the temple of the corruption that had crept in. And then I want you to back up just a little bit here, John chapter 2 and verse 23. These are very interesting verses, okay, that I want you to note here, John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. And you say, isn't that enough? Just to believe in his name. Now, read carefully here. They believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now, look at verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Now, that word commit means that Jesus didn't actually make the salvation connection with these people is because they didn't believe the right way. They did not believe with their heart in the Son, that he was the Son of God. They believed in him for miracles. They believed in him. They believed in his name. This must be the guy. This must be him. And we'll go along with this. We'll just see what happens here. Maybe we're just going to watch him and just watch for evidence. But they never, ever did believe with their heart. My dear friends, it has not changed today. Many come. They listen. They like what they hear. But they do not believe with their heart. And therefore, the second part of the transaction does not happen. God does not commit himself unto you. You see, it's two ways. You believe, and then the second part of the transaction is Jesus. God then makes his commitment to you. But that didn't happen here. But really there shouldn't, in a way, the break between chapter 2 and chapter 3. We're still on the same thread here. And Nicodemus, the most unlikely person, most unusual, unlikely person, comes out of the woodwork. And so what are we doing here? Just pulpit milk, Mike. Okay. Technical difficulties. We get one fixed, and now we got another one. Okay, John chapter. So, where was I? Huh? Okay, thank you. There's no break here. Nicodemus, this unlikely person, unusual Pharisee. Now, I could make some analogies here today to our present day, and I think you can, and I'm not going to name any denomination or anything, but there are certain people today that fit the Pharisees perfectly. Boy, if there was ever anybody that Jesus blasted, it was the Pharisees. I want you to just for a minute, we're in the book of John, go back to Matthew 23, and we'll see here a couple of things that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 23, if this is his woe chapter, woe to the Pharisee chapter. And does he ever lay into them for their hypocrisy? They had all of these rules and regulations and legalistic approach to God, and it was, but he says it's wrong. And of course, that didn't gain him any popular accolades with the crowd, and especially the ruling class, the Pharisees. By the way, there's another person here that we need to note that was probably in this crowd somewhere, was another Pharisee who got saved many, about 3-4 years later. Do anybody remember who that might be? And he became an amazing preacher of the gospel. And he was such a devoted Pharisee, he persecuted the church, he tried to kill Christians, but he got saved. Anybody know who that is? Paul the Apostle. He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus and him probably knew each other. Now we're going to see an interesting end to this story. This Pharisee, Nicodemus, he does become a night and day person. He is now in the night, but he turns into somebody who actually comes to Jesus in the day. But here in Matthew 23, we see here that Matthew 23, the whole chapter, he's pronouncing woes upon them one after the other. Okay, the verse number 2, chapter 23 and verse 2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, wheresoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But look at, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." That's a mark of a Pharisee. They say and do not. That's what they were all about. Do this, but they themselves didn't do it. Look at verse number 4. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them without one of their fingers." They laid all these heavy stipulations and regulations and rules and did not help these people at all, did not help them. And he says, and I'd like you to go down now, he tells them how to be a servant. Verse 10, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ, me." Verse number 11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." If you want to be great in the eyes of God, be a servant. Just serve. We have servants in this church. We saw them working all last week. They're serving the Lord. They want to serve. They were working in the bathroom. They were doing stuff, serving. Some of you are serving. You're serving. You're serving Christ. You've got a desire to serve. You've got a servant's heart. He's saying that's who's great among you. He's trying to teach these guys a lesson. Verse number, he says, verse 13, "But woe unto you." See the woe, verse 13, "Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For neither ye go in yourselves, neither suffer or allow you them that are entering to go in." He's saying, you have all this religion about going, about heaven and God, but you're not going in, and the ones you're teaching are not going in. Look at verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make them long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater judgment, damnation." And he goes on down there. Verse 15. "They were very evangelistic. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than he was before." He says they make you believe in something that really doesn't help them. They had a false gospel. They had a false message. They had a legalistic approach to everything. And he says in verse 8, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, that whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And all of these things. Verse 23. Look at verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the others undone. He's saying you paying the tithe and doing that wasn't wrong, but how you twisted it. You've twisted the scriptures. And that was what the Pharisees were all about. They were the biggest enemies of Christ. They attacked Jesus, and they were really the ones behind him going to the cross. They hated him. There was a hatred for him. But out of this, we have this man come in the night. Now, I believe we see three things in this born, this new birth doctrine. We see a sinner. We see the Savior. And we see the Spirit. We see the sinner, a Pharisee. The sinner, a Pharisee, he's coming by night with his sin. I think we see a troubled sinner. He's troubled. And that's what brings you. That's the first step in salvation, is God bringing you. I want you to keep your finger in John. Go to John chapter 3 and go over to John chapter 6. What we are witnessing here is a very important part of the new birth process. But it's explained in John chapter 6 and verse number 44. John 6 and verse 44. He says here, verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know what we see here? I believe with all of my heart, we see Nicodemus, this Pharisee, ruler of Israel, being drawn by the Holy Spirit, because in verse 1 it says, Nicodemus, it says, no, verse 2, he came to Jesus. And you can't come. You can't come to Jesus without the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. He draws him. He says, no man can come except I draw him. Now, I want to show another perspective on this. John chapter 12 and verse 32. John chapter 12 and verse number 32. We see here him making a reference again to drawing men. John chapter 12 and verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He says, it's going to be, I will draw all men unto me. It is the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. So somewhere in everybody's life, I believe, there's an opportunity for everybody where God has done his drawing work. And at the judgment seat, the people who've rejected Christ, who have not accepted the invitation, are going to, at the judgment, they're going to have every time that the Lord drew them will be witnessed before them. I remember that. I remember that. And you know what? That person will be speechless. There will be nothing he will say. But it will be so clear. I had this person. I had that person. I had that Bible. I remember reading that tract. I remember those dear Christian people inviting me, and I didn't come. I remember that. I remember my neighbors next door used to try and show me, but I didn't listen. You see, that is God drawing all men. Well, here we have Nicodemus. Back to chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruling class Pharisee. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Now we see the questions of a troubled sinner. We see him troubled. Verse 3, verse 4, we see him questioning. Verse 12, he says this. Verse 2, we see it's a question. He says, we know you're a teacher come from God. For the miracles, it's obvious there's a power. The wedding, we heard about the wedding, the wine at the wedding. We saw the unbelievable display of power in the temple, and that was a miracle. As you turned all the tables upside down and everybody went flying and everybody was speechless, nobody did anything. Because it was the power of God being manifested. It was a miracle. It was a one-man miracle here in the temple, Jesus. And by the way, he's going to do that with the whole world someday. The whole world, not just the temple. He's going to cleanse the whole world. And if you're on his side, you're going to be part of it. If you're not on his side, if you're not converted, not chained, not born again, then you will be part of the cleanup. And you don't want to be there. I'm saying get on the right side. So here he asks a question. Then we see another question, verse 4. He says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's got questions. He's troubled. Then we see another, verse number 9, we see another question. Nicodemus answering and said unto him, how can these things be? Now, the reason Nicodemus is saying this is because he is still an unborn again person. We see here the sinner, the troubled sinner, being drawn to the Savior, and then we see the Savior. The Savior responding to the questions and giving him this clear teaching on the new birth. So let's look at this. Verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now there's some merit in studying the Greek language. There's a lot of damage done from people who study the Greek language, in my opinion. It's almost worse. But there is some real benefits and blessings. And here's one of those special places where a word is used in the Greek language underneath. And it's the word again. You see that word again? It says, except the man be born again in verse number 3. That word actually could be translated and is translated in other places in the King James Bible, above, from above. He is born from above. Not just born again, but born from above. And we see born from above. I want you to look at verse 7. We see that same word again in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born from above. Born again from above. This is a spiritual birth that is heavenly. Born again. Now, it's used one more time, verse 31. That word in verse 31, and it's used as above here, the word is in verse 31, and he says, he that cometh from above is above all. Verse 31. All that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. That word, those words, above. Born from above. This is a heavenly birth, is what it really is. It's a heavenly birth. It's a supernatural birth. Now, I want you to go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse number 12. Verse 11, actually. Verse 11. Verse 11 of John chapter 1. Remember, John 1 is about the Word. Jesus, the Word. It's the supernatural Word of God. God's Word manifest through as Jesus in flesh, so his words. And now he says, verse number 11, he came unto his own, and his own received them not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13. Which were born. This is the new birth. This is what Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. The new birth. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John is saying the new birth is from above. John is saying the new birth is of God. I can't make you be born again. You can't be born again because your parents are born again. You can't be born again because your grandpa's born again or your mom's born again. That does not make you born again. You don't get it. God has no grandchildren. You must be born again. You must experience the new birth. You must really experience a birth from above. And everything is in this chapter that teaches the new birth, the miracle of the new birth. We've seen the troubled sinner. And the reason, I want you to go to one more verse here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 why Nicodemus has all of these questions. He can't get it yet. And that is how a natural man will not get it. He'll struggle with it. He'll be troubled about it. He won't get it because he has to have a natural man answer to something that's not natural. And he's saying, so, and here's the explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. He says here, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. He can't know them. It's impossible to know spiritual truth, spiritual things, without the new birth. And that was Nicodemus's problem. Have you ever tried to explain amazing Bible truth, the riches of Christ that we just saw up here? Have you ever tried to do that to somebody? And I mean, you really care about this person and you're trying to explain to them. And I've done this with many, many people. You're trying to explain this great truth about Christianity and they can't get it. They walk away like there's just blinders. They don't understand it. And my dear friends, why it is because they have not experienced the new birth. Now, the new birth, it's important that we sow the seed right. And that's what Jesus is doing here for Nicodemus. He is sowing the seed in his heart. Now, when a baby, we've had the great privilege and blessing in this year, this last year, to have our first grandchild. I never knew it was going to be so much fun to have a grandbaby, little Joseph. And you know, a baby, whether he's my grandchild, son, or your, or you have one, or your child, you cannot explain a birth. It's a miracle. A baby is a miracle. A little precious life coming into the world is a miracle of God that starts with a seed. And then there's conception of the seed. And then there's a gestation period. Like some of the ladies in our church, you can tell right now. And then one day, there's a birth. Murphy's waiting for that day. Soon. Jaylene is more excited about it than he is. She's looking forward to it. The birth, the new birth, is in a sense the same way. There is the seed of God's word being planted in a heart. And you know, that's what we're doing over here with that board. We're just planting the seed all over Prince Albert. And there's one very important lesson in farming. You will never have a crop if you don't plant the seed. You will never have a crop of wheat if you don't put wheat in the ground. Isn't that profound? You will never have carrots. We've got some wonderful carrots in our root cellar this year because I planted carrots last spring. We have potatoes in our root cellar because I put potatoes in the ground last year and they grew and we harvested them and we've got them in the root cellar and we're enjoying, we're going to actually have some today. You will not have anything grow without planting the seed. And you know what Jesus is doing right here with Nicodemus? He is planting the seed of the new birth. The new birth. We see the Savior's words. the Savior, verse number 3, he's telling him, you must be... He doesn't explain anything. He says, Nicodemus, you won't get it. I know you're a ruler of Israel. You're a Pharisee. You're religious. You've got... You're a master of Israel. But you do not understand that this is about the new birth. You must be born again from heaven. You've got to experience a new birth. And I'm almost afraid to use the term born again today because it is so abused and so misused in all of the religious circles today that it's just like the word revival and all of these things. It is almost, you're afraid to use it. Oh, born again. You're one of those. It is, but the birth is real, folks. It's a real teaching from the Bible. The new birth, it is, you have to have it. You must be born again. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across. He sees, he knows the heart of this man. Now, he didn't commit himself to anybody yet, but he's planting the seed and he gives him everything he needs. Do you know that in this portion of Scripture, this lesson to Nicodemus, this ruler, is the most used verse all over the world from the Bible? It is John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Nicodemus, you got lots of rules and you do lots of things and you have a very religious order that you follow. But Nicodemus, I'm going to tell you something. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse came from the questions that Nicodemus was answering. Jesus was giving him the gospel. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 17. He says in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." And he says, you know the problem with all you Pharisees? All of you, and you included, Nicodemus, it's this, verse number 19. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Verse 20, "And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." But verse 21, "But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." End of Bible lesson number 1. Jesus was planting the seed. This is all a conversation between him with Nicodemus. And we use that verse over and over. It's in Sunday school lessons all over the world. God so loved the world. It was the gospel. Do you know what Jesus was doing in Nicodemus' life? He was planting the seed of the new birth. Now, you're here today, and you've heard all of this. And you've been hurt. And you know what? Satan always engineers it so you can get hurt by another Christian. Another Christian. They're going to hurt you worse than anybody is another Christian. He's trying to knock you out. And he engineers these very carefully manipulated things to get you. And that's kept you from believing and trusting in the only begotten Son of God. I want to tell you, he's got a plan for you. He wants you to receive him in your heart. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will experience things the new birth must be experienced. It has to be experienced. So Nicodemus, in his natural questions, look at verse number 4. Nicodemus says unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," two births. Water is the first birth. What is the first thing that happens in the natural birth? The water. Is the water broke? Is the water? It's the water in the womb that the baby is nurtured in until the birth. You must be born of the water, number 1. Number 2, the second birth is of the Spirit. The first verse was amazing. The second birth is more amazing. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to notice in verse 3, there's two cannots here. I want you to see that cannots. Verse 3, look at what it says. Cannot see the kingdom of God. That's in verse 3. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Then you drop down to verse number 5, and you see cannot enter. Those two things happen. You know when I got saved? Something happened. I mean, it was amazing. Now, I don't want to give you false signals here, and you're going to expect some, did I really get saved? You're saved by believing. And the experience of the new birth is different for everybody. Some people have a dramatic new birth, and I'm not trying to make you doubt if you've believed here. Because if you believe Jesus, the Word of God, God's Word, that you died, and you have, from your heart, said, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I want to be a Christian. I don't care how you pray it. You pray, lift your heart up to Jesus. I accept that you died for my sin. That's why he died. You are saved. But the experience, the new birth must be experienced. You must be able to look back somewhere in your life and say, I remember when I experienced that new birth. The real experience. So it's new birth experience. And he says, it must be born of the Spirit. Verse number 6, he confirms it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And I want you to know the capital letter there. Capital Spirit. That's the Spirit. Not your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's born from above. He's saying this is a birth from above. The Spirit. Then he says, verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he gives a little illustration. Verse number 8. He gives a little illustration of what the new birth is like. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But canst not tell whence or whether, where it comes, and whither, where it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Today, on a minus 30 day, when you go out of this church and you start home, as you drive up the hill, out this way or that way, or east or west, you look at all the chimneys. In every place in town, you're going to see steam coming out of the chimney. And the steam is going to go out in this way, or out in that way. And you're going to know by that steam going this way, there's something pushing it. Something is making that happen. But you can't see it. It's the wind. The wind makes the smoke out of the chimney go that way. And he is saying here, the wind blows where it will. The wind blows where it wills. He says the wind blows and you see the result of the wind. You see what the wind is doing, but you cannot see the wind. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can see what the Spirit does, but you can't tell, see the Spirit. You never do, but you can experience it. The Spirit's work. The Spirit's work. The sinner's troubled sinner coming to a Savior that shares the Savior's word, plants the seed. We see the Spirit's work. The Spirit is a very essential part of the new birth. I have a whole bunch of other things, but I want to show you how this Nicodemus, a child of the night, there's really a neat couple of neat things here. Go to John chapter 7 and verse number 50. John 7 and verse number 50. Now these don't confirm he is born again, this verse especially. But it sure tells you something is happening in old Nicodemus' heart, this ruler of this Pharisee. He took an amazing stand here in verse 50. John 7, verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he, and it puts it in parentheses so we know which Nicodemus it is, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. He was one of them, the Pharisees, accusing him. Verse 51, this Nicodemus says, doth our law judge any man before it hears him? and knows what he does? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee, you double-crosser? Search and look, for out of Galilee rise no prophet. And every man went to his own house. You know what Nicodemus is doing here? He's defending Jesus Christ in a mock trial of the Pharisees. He's got the courage to stand up and defend the Lord Jesus in a very difficult situation. You know what I think we're seeing here? Nicodemus, a man of the night, he's become a man of the day. Now, let's go to one more. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Last one. John chapter 19 in verse number 39. Crucifixion. Jesus has been crucified. His body has been taken down from the cross. In verse 39, guess who comes? Verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus. Now, which Nicodemus? Now, Nicodemus was a fairly common name, but let's make sure it's the right guy here. Rest of the verse. Which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. You know what 100 pounds of this mixture of myrrh and aloes? This was a very expensive. It didn't take anything close to this to embalm or wrap a body. But Nicodemus, he remembered a lesson. He says, Jesus told back there 3 years ago, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And Nicodemus remembers that lesson. And Nicodemus, he brings not just a few pounds. He brings 100 pounds. It makes sure they see here 100 pounds. It means a very respectful sacrifice to the Son of God. You know what we see? Nicodemus has become a child of the night. I believe we see witness here that Nicodemus is a born-again child of the day. Okay? One more, just before we close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, and we're done. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, and we see here chapter 5 in verse number 4. He's making this distinction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Nicodemus came by night, and now we see him coming by day. He doesn't care what everybody thinks. He doesn't care what people think of him. I used to be afraid of, ashamed of Christ before I was a saved. I wouldn't want to be around Christians. I didn't want to go to church. I respected people that did, but I thought that's their business and I'll do my business. But that's the way it was. But you know, something happened after I was born again. I don't care. I want to be a testimony for Christ. And so do you. I've seen some of you change. You were children of the night and now you are children of the day. You're born again. Now, if you're here today and you've never been born again, you can be. Call on Jesus from your heart. Let's pray.